Welcome, everyone, to the podcast of Casinos USA. Today's episode is entitled, Keep It To Yourself. Hey, we are a few days early. We're going to put this out on December 20th because tomorrow the Casinos USA team is off to MGM National Harbor. And with Christmas just a few days away, we had to get back our digital kids. So here they are. Very recently, I heard a caller who left a voicemail on a very popular and very good podcast broadcast that comes out of California. And the caller was talking about mocking players at a craps table who were making pass line bets in craps without making an odds bet behind their pass line bet. The caller said that he had been on the hot table and had a good roll himself, which ended, he said, by his crapping out. Well, that last statement, crapping out on a hot roll, that statement told me that the caller was new to craps, because rolls do not end by rolling craps numbers. He must have been talking about seven outs, but that's not important. What is important is to learn to never, ever speak aloud to mock anyone who is betting differently than you are, even if their bet does seem very, very stupid. At a casino in southern Indiana, I was playing craps at a table which was very hot. A pass line bettor told the one don't pass player, you're an ass to bet against the dice. The don't pass bettor was an ass, all right. He was a badass. He karate chopped the man in the throat, and as the man put his hands up in defense, the don't pass bettor landed a punch on the man's nose. You could hear it break. The man fell to the floor, and the don't pass bettor began to kick his head. Security got there, but the beaten man was lifted to a cart by medical personnel. During the fight, the man who was mocking the other had a beer in his hand, which flew out with the karate chop to the throat, and it landed on me. At least most of it did. So I was taken to the gift shop, where a manager told me to pick out any shirt that I wanted, free of charge. While I was in the gift shop, I saw police taking the fighter out in handcuffs. At one point, he started with them, and I saw they quickly pushed him to the floor. I asked the woman in the gift shop if she knew about this guy. She did not. But another man who was in the shop said that man that they just arrested is a big-time drug dealer from Cincinnati. He's a dangerous gangbanger. I don't know why they let them come in here, he told me. Hey, I guess to myself, they let him come in here because he probably loses big money here, I thought. So my point in retelling this story is really how many people at a craps table does anyone really know? How many players might be intoxicated or even high on drugs? Is anyone at the table packing heat? Maybe none, and I'm certain most days none. But the potential for trouble is present, and it's present more often than you think. So please keep any of your mocking comments to yourself. You gain nothing by mocking another player, and the potential for real trouble is there. Personally, I always take odds when playing from the pass line. But I mentioned this many times. I do not always take full odds. And it's my habit to wait until the second roll after the come out to put my odds down. Because a first roll seven and out distorts my tranquility. It ends the enjoyment of playing. It just makes me so upset it's not worth it. So once in a while, I miss a point by delaying my odds bet. In other words, I miss the bigger money. But you know what? I don't care. After the first roll, after the come out, I'll put my odds bet down then. Let me tell you how a friend of mine won more money than I did by playing the pass line without odds, which is what this young man in made the voicemail was mocking another player for. But it's very possible to make more money by not placing odds. And I learned that night when this happened how curious craps betting can be. Here's how it happened. I met my college friend at an advancement conference in the Midwest. I was a major fundraiser in my position at a nonprofit organization. Raising money was a big, big part of my job. And I was at the conference to learn the latest fundraising strategies. I'm talking about contributions of $100,000 or more. My college friend, who I had not seen for years since graduation, was a major donor to a nearby university, And to my surprise, he was a guest speaker at this conference, so I was so pleased to meet him again. Apparently, my old college friend had made a fortune in business. He was very wealthy, but he seemed to me just as friendly as he did years before. At a break in our meeting, he told me he was going to play craps that evening at a nearby casino. I said, hey, I may see you there because I love craps also. So we agreed to meet later that day. So that evening, I went into the game with him at a craps table for $700. And he took out $1,000 worth of $100 bills. So he's not the high roller I thought, maybe. I put two red chips on the pass line, $10. He put one black one, $100. A five was rolled, so I immediately, after that first roll, put $20 behind my $10 pass line bet. As the game advanced, I made two, sometimes three come bets of $10 and banked them up with $20 or $25 in odds, depending on what the number was. The shooter, the first time, rolled the point number, that five. So I won $30 on my odds bet and $10 on the pass line. I was playing what we call the smart game, a pass line bet with two or three come bets, taking odds on the pass line bet and the come bets. This is how the majority of players play the pass line. Unfortunately, too many craps players only know how to play this way. Well, so my friend won $100. He just played $100 on the pass line. The next come out roll was a seven. And so my friend won $100. And I won $10, but here's the rub. I lost my come bets. I had three of them for $10 each. The odds were returned. But even though I won $10 on the pass line, I won $30. I lost $30 by losing those come bets. And that's the problem. The next roll was a seven again. So my friend wins $100. And I win $10. But I had just lost $30. So you see the problem. The table was such for the next 45 minutes that sometimes I did win come bets with the odds. But nonetheless, I couldn't keep pace with my friend because there were so many come out sevens that I would lose the come bets. So anyway, my friend says to me, I seldom take odds. And when I play $100 on the line, I never make come bets either. And this went on and on. My friend left the game, like I said, after about 45, 50 minutes we left. And he was up $1,000. I think I was up 40 or 50. So we had a nice talk at the casino bar, and that was that. But there's a night where by not playing odds behind the pass line, the pass line better did better. So is that a pun? The pass line better OR did better ER? I don't know. But that's the truth. And that's another reason never to mock. You know, the pass line by itself is probably the third best bet in craps. The best bet in craps is the odds bet behind the pass line because the house has no inherent edge. I have no problem with that. That's a fact. The odds bet behind the pass line is the best bet in a casino, in fact. The don't pass line is the second best bet in craps. And the pass line, and I'm not talking about odds behind it, is probably mathematically the third best bet in craps. We have to go back to one of those math nerds and find out about placing the 6 and 8. But truthfully, don't mock what you totally don't understand. There are so many ways to play craps. There's a smart way, which some nights that's the way to play. But there's other ways to play. And again, people who never played a don't pass, I'll go back to my metaphor. It's like playing the piano with one hand. Sometimes being a don't pass better is the only way to win. Let me give you some time for that to sink in. Sometimes playing the don't pass line is the only way to win. Agree or disagree, there's just not one right way to play craps. Yes, there's a smart way to play with math on your side, but many times playing smart makes you a loser. Admit it, it's sad but true. You can go into a losing streak by playing the smart way, and that losing streak can last, you know, table after table after table. So why do you keep doing it? You know, at least learn other ways to play. I'm going to tell you that most often I do play the smart way. But if I'm getting ripped up at a table, I'm not going to keep playing that way. And for the last year and a half, I've been going to the table and starting from the don'ts with the attitude, well, knock me off, and then I'll jump on the pass line, and I'll play smart. But hey, I also get a lot of enjoyment out of some wild and crazy bets and craps, and I'm probably not going to stop that either. So anyway, that's my piece for today. Keep your comments to yourself. That's egotistical and shallow. And you know what? It can be dangerous. You know what? I don't go to a casino to fight with other people. And you know, I don't like when people interrupt me at a craps table sometimes and say things. I just let it go. And if someone asks for help, I'll say, you know what? I'll have a beer with you after the game and I'll give you some help. I want to concentrate on my own play. That's what I'm there for, to have fun and win money. So please take my advice. Keep your negative comments at any table game to yourself. Thank you. Yay! Now let's talk a little blackjack. On our Casinos USA Facebook page, and if you want to get on that group page, it's Casinos USA written as two words. Please do it. We got a nice note from Doug, and he was talking about, you know, our comments on blackjack, and we were referring to Pennsylvania under state law has excellent rules for blackjack players, particularly because all casinos in the state have to pay 3-2. All right. He told us, hey, if we're going to talk about great places to play blackjack, don't leave out the Longhorn Casino on the Boulder Highway outside of Las Vegas. Actually, it's a Las Vegas address, but it's outside of the strip, I should say. So you'd need a car or a cab or who knows what else to get there. But let's talk about this place. And by the way, Doug, thank you for the note. The Longhorn Hotel and Casino is at 5288 Boulder Highway, Las Vegas, Nevada, zip code 89122. So set your GPS if you just rent a car and you're out there. 5288 Boulder Highway, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89122. You want to go to the Longhorn Hotel and Casino. Now I'm going to read right from the website. Join the fun at Longhorn Casino, where you'll enjoy the loosest blackjack rules in town and $2 minimum bets 24/7. Boy, that got my attention. $2 minimum bets 24/7. These are the loose rules. Players may double down on any first two or three cards. Unlimited splits and resplits, except for aces. Aces may be split twice for a total of 3 bets. After splitting, you may double down on the first 2 cards only, and they do offer surrender. You may surrender your original hand for 1/2 your bet. $2 blackjack, 24/7, paying 3-2. Hey, I take a great deal of pride in knowing about casinos outside of Las Vegas and going to casinos outside of Las Vegas, but I'm really excited about this one, and I'll probably be in Vegas, I'm thinking February, and I will definitely get out. I always get a car. If I don't drive out, I rent a car. So I will definitely check out this Longhorn. And from other things on their Facebook, their website, it looks like a nice place. So thank you again, Doug. What a great place to, you know, hone your blackjack skills, only risking $2 a hand, you know, particularly if you haven't played blackjack for a while, to get back in the groove. Really looking forward to stopping here. Thank you. And now let's move on to the third segment of today's episode. In a little bit on the strip, it seems as if there's a casino wars on against the customers, the patrons. And more of the blackjack gurus are telling you don't play on the strip. Now, I know there's higher level games that the rules are still good. But for most people, they don't want to play $50 a hand or more. And also, when casinos start to add you know, 000 on roulette. It's getting challenging and more challenging. You know, the casinos are just simply tilting the rules of the games in their favor, even more so, even more so. I want to quote Jean Scotch. She's a professional video poker player, and I read most of her books. The Frugal Gambler was a series of books. I read her first one and a couple of the other ones. And she says, there used to be a little better relationship between the players and the casino. You know, she's aware as well that things have changed on the Strip, maybe at many casinos outside of the Strip as well. I also want to share with you Bob Dancer's comments on this situation on the casino going against the customers to the degree that they are. And if you don't know, Bob Dancer is also a video poker expert, and he's a well-recognized author. He's a high-stakes player, and he's one of the few high-stakes players that publicizes and writes about his techniques. And he says that casinos enjoy so many advantages. You know, first of all, they set the rules. They serve alcohol to players. And in most jurisdictions, they can bar players they believe are too strong. You know, so the game is really tilted. All the games are really tilted in their favor. And in many ways, it's just not fair. And so that's why I enjoy talking about places like the Longhorn, where a low-limit player can go there, enjoy herself, enjoy himself, without risking, you know, their paycheck to have a little fun. And sometimes they're going to win. And 3-2 blackjack is how the game should be played. The Casinos USA team is putting out this podcast a few days early because, as I may have mentioned, we are off to MGM National Harbor. And I was really sad to learn that at the grand opening there was a fight. It goes back, I think. It was a serious fight. And I saw a video on Twitter. Casinos USA 2017 is our Twitter handle, at Casinos USA 2017. So check us out. And we comment, you know, every day, every other day, etc. But I saw a video of the fight that somebody had put on Twitter. And, you know, what a sad thing. I mean, this is an upscale, maybe the upscale casino in the East, MGM National Harbor. And, well, we'll be there the evening of the 21st, and we'll see. But what a sad thing. And this reinforces what I said earlier in the podcast about keeping your negative comments to yourself. You just don't know who you're dealing with. It's just not a smart thing to do. I also want to state that, you know, Bob Dancer is not banned, even though he's a true advantage player. And you'll enjoy his podcast, Gambling with an Edge. So check that out. But the reason he says he's not banned is because his good work with podcast and in the articles that he writes and the books that he writes brings more customers into casinos than not. And for that reason, you know, they continue to let him play. As far as I know, he hasn't been barred. But if you win enough money, you'll be barred. So Bob probably does it just right. Wins enough to make a good living and keeps his invitation open to visit the casinos in Nevada that he wants to visit. And again, we drew these quotes from Mark Groot's Players Advantage article in the Tribune Review. What a great newspaper column. Mark Groot's Players Advantage. Check it out if you are somewhere in the Pittsburgh area. So as we close out today, I want to wish all of our listeners a Merry, Merry Christmas. Have a safe and happy holiday with your friends, with your family, with your children. And, you know, maybe over the break you can get to a casino and have some fun there as well. I'd like to return to our digital children just as a farewell for today. If any of our listeners are spending a New Year's Eve at a casino, whether it's in Las Vegas or otherwise, please contact us. We'd like to talk about that. We'll be back on the air on Thursday, January 5th. So be safe, have fun. Hey, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the Casinos USA way.
Hey, every day is Saturday.